Now, if you'll turn with me again, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Our text this afternoon is the verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Was no strange God with him. I propose over the next number of weeks that we will look at some lessons from nature. And today we'll start with the eagle. Let's seek God's help in prayer. Gracious Father, bless thy word to our hearts this afternoon. We truly are the recipients of thy grace and favor. How good is the God we adore. Speak to us through thy word. Instruct us in the pathways of righteousness. Lead us after thyself. May our souls be blessed as we consider thy great truth. As thy word is recorded, as others will listen at other points of the day and weeks to come, may the word of God prosper. May it go forth in great power. And we ask for thy blessings now in Jesus' name. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. You'll find as you read your Bible that the Lord often employs many parts of his creation to illustrate certain truths for you and I to learn and to understand. And on many occasions in God's Word, he draws our attention, be it to things of nature, the plants, the flowers, the trees, the animals that he has created, to certain characteristics and features for the sole purpose that we might learn something about God from them. And this afternoon we want to look at the eagle. And probably out of all of God's winged creatures, the eagle abides in a class all of its own. Its image has been reproduced on coins and emblems, seals and flags. Towns and villages and lakes and mountains bear its name. The eagle is an international sign of freedom and strength and power and authority. It's been revered by many societies throughout history. The Aztecs of Mexico so revered the eagle that they built their capital city on the spot where they saw an eagle perching upon a cactus, so I'm told. The armies of Rome marched behind the golden imperial eagle. When the Roman Emperor Augustus died in AD 14, his body was carried to a funeral pyre that had been built, and in the midst of it, an eagle had been placed. And so as the flames crept upwards, the eagle was released from its cage. And that was to symbolize in their minds the ascent of Augustus to the heavens. You can think also of the Indian tribes of North America, where the eagle was held in high esteem, and many of their warrior braves would carry an eagle feather into battle, believing that it was incredibly powerful. And of course, when we think of the United States of America today, we can think of the bald eagle that's chosen as an emblem of that nation. Chosen because of its long life, its great strength, its majestic looks. And so we can understand why the eagle is found as an emblem of power and authority all across the world. There's something of the greatness and majesty of the eagle that cements its place in time and history as being the foremost of all of God's winged creatures. And there are certain spiritual truths attached to the eagle that will be beneficial for you and I to consider. So we come to our text in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. And the first thing that I draw your attention to is the eagle's care for her young. The eagle's care for her young. As an eagle stirreth up the nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. The picture before us is of the little eaglets in their nest. The eagle, of course, will build its nest in a tall tree or on the side of a cliff. And typically speaking, the nest is about 5 feet, just short of 2 meters in diameter. And because the eagle uses the same nest every year, they will keep adding to the nest, and over time it can grow to an immense size. In fact, I'm told that the record for the largest nest built by an eagle was of a bald eagle in Florida. And that nest was approximately 3 meters wide and 5 meters deep. It was a colossal structure. It weighed 2.5 tons. It was immense. And the eagle will build that nest by picking up broken sticks from the ground, twigs and leaves, interweaving them together, filling in all of the spaces with grasses and mosses, in order to make the inside of the nest as soft and comfortable for the little ones as possible. They'll line that nest with their feathers and leaves and animal fur to make it comfortable and cozy. And we read here in our text of the eagle that fluttereth over her young. And it simply means to brood. She broods over her young. It speaks of the eagle mother as she sits upon her eggs. She incubates them and watches over them until they are hatched. She fluttereth over her young. They are the objects of her care. The eagle will lay somewhere between 1 and 3 eggs. The first is laid, and then a few days later the second, and then possibly a third. The period of incubation is 35 days, and both father and mother share the duties of looking after the nest. There's never a time when either one or the other is not there to watch and to care for the eggs and for the hatchlings. And once the eggs are hatched, the mother's vigilance becomes almost constant. All of her attention is given to her young. The father is the one that provides the food for the little eaglets, and the mother continues her devoted brooding over her little nest. So when God speaks of the eagle fluttering over her young, he is reminding the children of Israel how they had been the objects of his constant and continual care. He told them in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32 that he had kept them as the apple of his eye. Now, I'm told that the apple of our eye is the twinkle of our eye. Certainly if someone catches your eye, you have a twinkle in your eye for them. Well, God has said that he keeps his people as the apple of his eye. They're extremely important to them, and he's very fond of them, and his care is extended over them. Throughout all their years of wandering through the wilderness, God said, I watched over you, I cared for you, I protected you, as the eagle, as she fluttereth over her young, that's how I cared for you. Do I need to remind you, child of God, that today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are the object of God's special care. There is never a moment when God's eyes ever leave you. He's watching over you continually. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We are always in His heart and upon His mind. I heard someone say that God loves us so much that if heaven has a refrigerator, our picture will be on it. We are the objects of His care. So He cares for His people. And He protects. You see, the mother eagle is not only concerned about the incubation and the hatching and the health and the growth of her young, but she's protecting them. For there are those who would come and steal away their life if they could from the moment that they're hatched or from the moment that the eggs are laid. You've got the ravens and the gulls and others that would seek to break open the eggs or to carry off the little ones. And both the mother and the father are in constant watch for anything or anyone that could hurt their young. We as God's people are in a similar position. The Lord is concerned that we do not fall prey to our spiritual enemies. We have got the lion that roareth and seeketh whom he may devour. But he'll never get his teeth into the child of God, for the Lord watches over us. We are the objects of His special care. A young soldier, just back from war, was trying to get out of telling of his experiences, and said to the one that asked him, "What happened over there?" He was reluctant to tell. But they persisted, "Tell me of your experiences. What is it that struck you most about being at war?" And he finally conceded and said, "The thing that struck me most was the number of bullets that missed me." God was watching over. God watches over His people. We are the objects of His care. The eagle fluttereth over her young, brooding over the nest, watching, caring, protecting. God reveals His care for each of us. But there's something more here in our text. We read also of the eagle that stirreth up her nest. The eagle stirreth up her nest. Not only is she caring for her young, but there'll come a time when she must coax them out of the nest. She stirreth up her nest. Once the eggs are hatched and the eaglets begin to grow, they grow very rapidly. After about 2 weeks, they're able to hold up their head for feeding. By 3 weeks, they're almost a foot high, 30 centimeters high. Their feet and their beaks are almost full size. Between 4 and 5 weeks, they're able to stand on their own. At 6 weeks, they're nearly as large as their parents. By 8 weeks, they're beginning to stretch and to flap their wings. And then somewhere between weeks 10 and 13, something happens. And that something is described in our text as the eagle that stirreth up her nest. Let me paint a picture, if I can, and use a little bit. We'll call it sanctified imagination. Point out what this verse is speaking of, a disturbance in the nest. Up until this point, the little eaglets have been waited upon hand and foot, or beak and talon if you prefer, and all they've done thus far is to lay around the bottom of the nest, playing around with one another, enjoying all of the attention that they've been given, and crying out when they're hungry. Mother Eagle has been taking care of them every single moment and has been putting all of her time and love and affection into her little brood. Dad was always there, hovering around, bringing back a nice juicy piece of meat for them to eat. And then one morning they wake up and both mother and father are gone. And for the first time in their young lives, they're all alone in the nest. And as well as being alone, their little tummies are empty, they're getting hungry, they start calling out, opening wide their mouths, waiting for the food that they hope that Dad is bringing back. But Mum and Dad do something they've never done before. They fly past the nest, and instead of dropping into the nest and feeding them on demand, they fly right by, over and over again, but never stopping. To add to their confusion, to their despair, Mum doesn't show up at night. For weeks, during the cold nights of the day, the cold nights, they've been drawing in close to Mum at night, snuggling up to the warmth of her body, sheltering under her wings, but now they're alone, and the nest is cold, and they're shivering, and there's all of the sounds of the cold wind and the dark nights. What has happened? And after several days of this, one jumps up and says, "Look, here comes Dad. He's got a big rabbit for us." He swoops down over the nest and dangles the rabbit just out of reach. And the little fellows in the nest start flapping their wings and jumping around as if to say, "Dad, come closer." One of them gets excited and he jumps right to the edge of the nest. He's never been out so far before. Whoa! He looks down. He turns to his fellows and says, "You'll never believe where we are. We're on the end of a branch, on the edge of a cliff, and there's nothing beneath us." Finally, Mum and Dad return with food. Happy reunion. But it doesn't last long. No, the eagle stirreth up the nest. Mum starts stomping around, throwing things out of the nest. She tears away all of the soft leaves and the fur and the feathers out of the nest, piece by piece. And she keeps going until there's nothing left but the sharp, pointy sticks and twigs, the uncomfortable branches. The soft bed that they've enjoyed has gone. It's so uncomfortable. They can't even lie down now because the sticks are poking into them. They have to use their own talons to stand up in the nest. She stirreth up the nest. And she fluttereth over her young. I know I said that that refers to the brooding, but I think when we look at that statement and the order of it, the stirring over the nest and then the fluttering over her young, there's something more than just brooding going on in that statement. Something else is implied. And it's not long before the little fellows in the nest begin to realize that Mum isn't just renovating the nest in preparation for some new furniture on the way. She stripped the nest down till its bare bones, and there's a wild look in her eye as she starts squawking and fluttering her wings. She starts chasing them out of the bottom of the nest, and they're scurrying for the door, climbing up the branches to the top of the nest, heading for the edge, and they find themselves where they've never been before. For weeks, all that they've known is the soft, warm nest, but now they're looking out, and there's a big, wide, open blue sky before them. And since they've been gripping onto the sticks and the branches with their own talons now, they're becoming stronger day by day, and they can balance and walk along the edge of the nest, and as days go by, they get more and more confident, fearless, even as they walk around the edge of the nest. Mum and Dad are flying by, near content to watch. What's God saying here? The eagle stirreth up the nest and fluttereth over her young. God wants us to realize that there's more to the Christian life than just staying in the nest. We are spiritual eagles. And God's plan for us is not that we spend our time in the nest, but that we soar in the heavenlies. That we are partakers of the heavenly joys that are ours in Christ. I think it was Alan Kearns in his book of daily devotions, Eagle Wings, starts off the year with the story of the eagle that was chained to the ground in some zoo somewhere in the world. What a depressing sight. That bird that was designed to soar in the heavens, chained to the ground. And he likened it to the Christian, whose hearts are set upon earthly things, and they never soar in the heights with Christ. Well, these little eagles are destined for the sky. And there's going to come a day when they're going to have to leave the nest and fly out on their own. So we know what it's like when we're first saved. Everything's warm and cozy, and we experience much of God's love and care. But there comes a time when those warm feelings disappear. And we know something of the difficulty then of being a Christian, of the challenges that are involved. And it seems that God has withdrawn His presence from us. We don't enjoy and experience the same closeness we had before. We find that our nest has been stirred up. God is disturbing our place of comfort, and we find ourselves facing dark and distressing and disturbing times in our life, and we wonder, has God forgotten us? Has He forsaken us? Does He love us no longer? Well, what the little eagles didn't realize is that when Dad stopped bringing food, he was forcing them to learn how to hunt for themselves. When Mum stripped the nest, she was forcing them to stand, to make them strong. And as confusing and disturbing as this time of life was, it was for their good. And when she forced them out of the nest, they didn't realize that she was simply preparing them for something better to come. She was bringing them to a place that they'd never been before, to do things that they'd never attempted before, to see things they'd never seen before. And all the while the goal was to get them to the sky. All of that fluttering and stirring up of the nest, she's coaxing them in preparation of the fulfillment of the great purpose of their life, to soar in the heavens. There will be times when God will stir up our nests, and we find our world turned upside down. Yet behind it all, God is at work, encouraging His children, maturing them, strengthening them. God is working upon us in order that we might be what we've never been before, to do things that we've never thought to do before, to go places we never dreamed of going before. God is at work. We've included in the order of service for you the little poem, "For every pain that we must bear, for every sorrow, every care, there is a reason. For every falsehood that is said, for every teardrop that is shed, there is a reason. For every grief, for every trial, for every weary, lonely mile, there is a reason. But if we trust Him as we should, all will work out for our good. There is a reason." There's always a reason. Even for the trials and the hardships and the disturbances that we face in life, God intends to make us strong, to take us out of the nest, to soar in the heavens with Him. So we see the eagle caring for her young, and then coaxing them out of the nest. And then we find at the end of the verse that she spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Let me describe what's being mentioned here. The eagle spreadeth abroad her wings. The young have been brought to the edge of the nest, but there's more than just living on the edge. Their nature is to fly, to soar in the heavens. The heavens are to be their habitat. The heavens are to be their domain. They're not chickens, they're eagles. And one day Mum says to the young, I want you to do what I'm doing. And she spreads out her majestic wings. She spread abroad her wings. And by instinct, they follow suit. They do what she does. They spread out their wings. She is, in effect, teaching them what is their purpose in life. She taketh them and beareth them on her wings. They've learned how to spread their wings, and they're getting close to learning how to fly. But there's one final action on the part of Mum and Dad that will bring them to the place of fulfillment for their purpose. They're perched there on the edge of the nest, all proud of themselves. They're standing up on their own. They're spreading their wings. They've got all of the things that we have learned. Then something happens, something unexpected. Mum takes her wings and knocks them off the edge of the nest. And down, down, down he falls. He's thinking, what have you done? Where are you? And he's falling faster and faster. And then instinct takes over. And he begins to flap his wings. And he's beating at the air with all of his might. And he continues to fall, and the ground is getting closer and closer. And by this stage, he's asked God to forgive him for the way that he's treated his brother. And he promises that he'll go to church every Sunday, he'll even tithe. He had all kinds of promises, and within a few hundred meters of the ground, all of that time, Mum and Dad have been watching, hovering overhead, and when it seems that all is lost, with lightning speed, they come swooping down at the last moment to save the eaglet as it falls, swooping down under him, catching him upon her wings, and bears him back up to the nest. He spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. There will be time that God will stir our nest and perhaps even knock us out of the nest. He knows how far we can go and how much we can bear. And there will be a time when he'll bear us up on his wings to safety. He'll be there when we need him most. You may feel that you've been knocked out of the nest, but know that the Lord will be there before you ever hit the ground. It's no fun to be knocked out of the nest, but hey, at least we got to ride on Mum's wings back up to the nest again. She bears the young back to the nest. When they get back to the nest, you can just see the trembling little fellow there as he pulls close to Mum and says, Mum, I love you. She knocks him out again. And if need be, she'll race to his rescue again. And she'll do that as many times as she has to until that moment, during one of the falls, that he spreads his wings as he has been shown, and the wind beneath his wings slow his fall and begin to lift him. And then he realizes just what they've been saying and showing him all along. He's found his purpose. And with a screech that fills the air, he says, thank God has not saved us to be bound to the earth. He has saved us to soar in the heavenlies with Christ, to feel the wind beneath our wings, to lift us higher to those heavenly heights. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, may we soar in the heavenlies with Christ. May we know what it is to be drawn close to the Lord, to know his care, His protection over us, to know His strengthening of us for the purposes that He has designed. And may we soar with God. May we soar with Him. May we, as we think of the eagle, as we see it in pictures, as we see it on video, as we see it on emblems and seals and coins or wherever it might be, may we think of God's great care for us and His purposes for us to soar in the heights with Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee that there are lessons to be learned from all around us, from the nature that Thou hast created. We pray that as we consider these things in the light of Scripture, that they will add to our understanding of the plans and purposes of God. May we not be like that eagle chained to the ground, bound to the things of earth. We pray that we might set our affections on things above, that our treasures will be in heaven, and that we will seek to soar with Christ, to rise higher on eagle's wings. Bless Thy word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.